Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship this morning. In the little clip leading into the welcome this morning, we saw about light, the Jesus being the light, and that's what we focus on in this Epiphany season. So let's bow our heads and pray to the God of light. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning to praise you and give you thanks for the revelation of your glory in this, your Son, Jesus Christ, that truly he is the light of the world. And Lord, as we gather here today, shine his light into our hearts and grow us as your people so that we may go out into the world and shine the light for this dark world who is lost and needs to find the way home. So bless us as we worship you this day, O Lord. In your precious name and to your glory we pray. Amen. So let's stand our HDK little choirs here this morning and going to lead us as we play the song clips today.
You are.
Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share the peace with one another. Wonderful. You may be seated as Tony's going to read the New Testament reading and the Gospel reading for today.
The New Testament reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, that he gives them to each one, just as he determines. Hear the word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I'd like to speak to you this morning from the Old Testament reading for today. And you have it on the printed sheet before you because I'm using the New Living Translation. And it helps us to understand a little bit better the sense of the Hebrew than some of the older translations. It gives us an English contemporary version. "Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. And never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. And then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride." And that was Isaiah 62, 1-5. And the title of my sermon today is called "Ministering the Glory, Being an Epiphany Church." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you at this Epiphany season to ask you to shine your glory upon us as we hear this ancient word to us this morning. Indeed, use it to transform us and grow us as your people so that we may shine your epiphany light in this dark world. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus, the light of the world. Amen. I had another one of those conversations this week with one of the clergy persons of our deanery. And it began with the comment from them, "It feels as if the whole church is falling down around my feet." I spoke with another priest before Christmas who decided to retire at 63 because he was just overwhelmed with the pressure and the changes that COVID had brought to his parish life. His wife had a good paying job, so for him, enough was enough. Time to retire to the bliss of locum ministry around the diocese. Every care, no responsibility. Commenting on the current Omicron outbreak, our three regional bishops commented in a text to the clergy recently. They said, these challenges come when many had hoped that things would be getting better, but there's another lap to run. But it's not all about the clergy. Many clergy too feel the plight of many lay members who have worked hard and sacrificed lots over the years and are feeling very concerned about the future of their beloved congregations that they have given so much to over the years. As a clergy person, you know that there are many things in this situation beyond your control, but you still feel responsible for the downheartedness of these good people as the decline of their congregation has happened on your watch. Think of the church today and you think of difficulty, diminishing, aging, struggling, despair. And much of these sentiments are the feeling of the people of Israel, which Isaiah speaks into our text today. The historical setting into which this prophecy speaks is this. The Israelites had been in captive slavery for 70 years in Babylon. They had been released and were allowed to go back home to their homeland. So as they trudge up the mountainside, up to the city of Jerusalem, they arrive at its gates and they're physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted from their 1,750 kilometer trip that it took them from Babylon to get there. And when they get there, what do they see? A city in ruins, its citizens demoralized, and poverty and shame abounding. The high hopes they had on leaving Babylon was dashed as they took in the desolation of Jerusalem. It seemed that God was unfaithful to his promises to restore Jerusalem. It was a mess. Now, when many people of God look at the church today, that is also what they think. Lord, you've let us down in your promise to build the church. Lord, you failed us. We've worked and worked and worked. We've tried program after program after program. We've visited and encouraged. We've tried this, that, and now this COVID. Things are dry, the struggle diminishing. We feel down and depressed. Let me ask you, how do you feel about the church? Is the church just a building? Is the church its people? Is the church a place of worship? Something that you feel obliged to do and involved in, and if you don't do it for a few weeks, you start to feel guilty. Do you come to church because it's a good habit? Is the church really an imposition in your hectic life? How do you really feel about church? Do you think it matters how you feel about church? Well, you know it does. It does, because if we're going to push through past this dryness, this struggle, this despair, to refreshing, to renewal, to revival, the first thing that needs to change is our hearts and our feelings towards the church. In my New Living Translation study Bible, the whole of this Isaiah chapter 62 is called Isaiah's Prayer for Jerusalem. And it is also our prayer, the believer's prayer for the church. And how does Isaiah begin this prayer? He says, because I love Zion. Now, for Zion, for Isaiah, denotes the temple and the worshipping community of men and women. The motivation of his prayer for Zion, for God's people, is love. So let me ask you again, do you love the church? Do you love this church, the building, the people, the clergy? Because it is where we will need to begin to bring refreshing, renewal, and revival to the church. Isaiah looked at the ruins of the temple in Jerusalem, and he said, because I love Zion. We look at the struggles, the hardships, the difficulties of being church, and we say, because we love the church. And our motivation for prayer for the church is love for the church. For Isaiah, this love is very deep. He says, I will not keep still because my heart yearns for Jerusalem. I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her. This love that Isaiah had for Jerusalem shook him to the core. It affected him physically and emotionally. His heart yearned for Jerusalem to be all that she was and even all that she could be. This yearning contains desire, longing, pain, and concern, a will to be present with her. This love for Jerusalem was so strong in his heart that he could not remain silent. He could not ignore the feelings he had for her. He had to express these feelings, and he did so in prayer, in unceasing prayer, in prayer with a goal, as he writes, until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. It was a dark time in the life of the Israelite people. The temple and Jerusalem were in ruins. It seemed that God had not fulfilled his promises. Similarly, it's a dark time for the church. It's hard to survive. It's hard to motivate. It's hard to reach out. But when is it darkest? Always just before dawn. And hasn't it always been that way with the people of God in the pages of Scripture and in the pages of church history? They curse the darkness rather than have hope in the coming light. And what is that light? Righteousness shining and salvation blazing like a shining torch. And what is that righteousness and salvation? Where does it come from? It comes from the presence of the Lord, the Messiah. Listen to what Isaiah prophesies in the chapter before this one. His prophecies concerning the Messiah and concerning Israel in Isaiah 61:1-7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Hosea says that he will not stop praying for Jerusalem until her righteousness shines. That is, grows brighter and brighter. And his salvation blazes like a burning torch. That is, gets brighter and brighter. This means that God's people are to grow in righteousness and this salvation. They're to grow and shine until this glory, as Isaiah prays, the nations will see your righteousness, the world leaders will be blinded by your glory. The righteousness and salvation that the Messiah brings and gives to his people, firstly to the Jews, and then secondly to the church, Jews and Gentiles, is to impact the world. You see, for too long, we in the church have operated with the idea of you in your small corner and I in mine. As long as we in our congregation have enough people in the pews that could run the committees, pay the priest, pay the bills, maintain our church building, have our worship in the style we want at the time we want, well, we think that everything is pretty hunky-dory. Wrong. What did God promise to do through Abraham and his descendants? Bless the world. And what is the righteousness and salvation that we have just heard that the Messiah brings? Good news to the poor, comfort to the brokenhearted, releasing captives, freeing prisoners, telling those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor is upon us. Is the church blessing the world? Are we as a congregation here blessing the community of Kawana Waters? What is it that we need to grow into as far as righteousness, salvation, and glory is concerned? What is it that we need to pray about for the church in our love for the church? Well, it is the manifestation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Think back to our gospel reading for today. Jesus turned the wine, water into wine at Cana. How did it end? This miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. What is the glory? The glory is not the white shining halo that surrounds Jesus' head in Christian art. It is the manifest presence of God. It is, if you like, God's godness. Only God, the Creator, could turn water into wine. And in this demonstration of God's power, the glory of God was released into that location. And did you notice it wasn't a temple, it wasn't the synagogue, it wasn't a place of worship. It was just a house in Cana. Signs and wonders do that. They release the glory of God into the world. The need, be it physical sickness, poverty, oppression, or whatever, represents the impact of darkness. And the miracle displaces the darkness and replaces it with light, with glory. And as glory is released, it displaces the powers of darkness and replaces it with the actual ruling presence of God. Just as Jesus ministered the glory of God by changing the water into wine, as we heard in the gospel reading, so it is that we minister the glory of God by using the spiritual gifts that we heard about in our New Testament reading for today. And as I've been talking to you about in those prayer, praise, and proclamation service Sundays, we're given the gifts of the Spirit of Jesus to do the ministry of Jesus. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Paul goes on to list some of the gifts. and we take note of them. And we see that they're to be used to bless other people's lives, to minister the same glory of God that is prophesied about in Isaiah 61 about the Messiah. And it is a church that ministers the glory of God that attracts the attention of the world. When the church ministers this glory, it will also attract God's blessing. For the people of Jerusalem, no longer would their city be called the forsaken city or the desolate land, but the city of God's delight and the bride of God. As Isaiah says, the Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. When the Lord releases that kind of blessing, it won't be hard to do church. It won't be hard to be church. Of particular encouragement to Christian parents is the verse from Isaiah, "Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride." Isaiah is prophesying that where a church, where the righteousness of God is shining, where the salvation of God is burning, and the glory of God is ministered, that will attract our children and they will be passionately committed to it. Because what's the most important thing for young people today? It's relationship. And a church that ministers the glory of God, ministers a God who is alive and living and active, with whom you can relate. And when children today and even adults today in this hurting world hook into something or someone that can really make a difference, as the Spirit of God can and the manifest presence of Jesus can, they are hooked for life. And you know what? It even makes God rejoice and happy to take us as church, as his bride. Today is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Epiphany means to reveal. Historically in the church, it has meant the revelation of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And that is the kind of church we are called to be, an Epiphany church. A church that reveals the glory of God in Jesus Christ, that ministers the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And we're on our way to being that kind of church. And the way that we get there is by, first of all, loving the church and our church here in particular, and praying for the church and our church here in particular, that her righteousness might shine like the dawn and her salvation blaze like a burning torch, that one day the nations will see our righteousness and the world leaders be blinded by our glory. But not only do we pray, we also use our spiritual gifts and change the water of this broken down old world into the new wine of new life of the kingdom of God. God has given us all that we need to be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. He's given us himself to minister to others. So as we minister his glory, his godness to others, we will indeed be an Epiphany church and see that God indeed does fulfill his promises. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for the revelation of your glory in all that you have done in rescuing Israel and in rescuing us Jews and Gentiles as church. Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to shine the light of your glory that you have shone into our hearts, into the lives of others, by prayer and by use of our spiritual gifts, so that indeed others may see your love and light and may come to you and no longer live broken, desolate lives, but lives of beauty, lives of joy, and lives of peace. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
So let us stand to share an affirmation of faith. Let us share a statement of faith. We believe in one God, who made and loves all things.
We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died, and rose again, and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls the Christians and our God's people, and brings all things to their true end.
This is our faith, the faith of the Church.
We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning in awe of your majesty, your abundance, and this, your creation, given to us by you to care for. We thank you that you have provided such beauty for us here on the Sunshine Coast and here at HTK. We ask that you continue to remind us of the need to care for this gift that you have provided for us. Let us be aware of how carefully balanced our environment is, the way you created it to be, and help us to work hard to keep it in the pristine condition that you gave it to us. Give us the courage to speak out and defend your creation from the perceived progress it destroys rather than nurtures your land. And make us like our Indigenous brothers and sisters who are the keepers of the land. We are your keepers of your land, Lord, in your mercy. And Father, in this season of gifts, we pray for the gift of peace. Scripture tells us that peace on earth and goodwill towards all is important. But in the hustle and bustle of preparations, we do at times forget about the goodwill towards each other. We see this especially in queues waiting for testing. We do need that gift of patience and goodwill towards our friends, our neighbours, that person in the car space in front of us, and sometimes even to our loved ones. Let us never forget that your Son, our Saviour, also indeed is the only reason for what has just been the season, but for every season through the year. We pray that all around the world, people of all creeds and nationalities we'll take time out to think of peace and kindness and sharing and understanding as we go through what we do at the moment. We pray for all the world's leaders that they will show compassion and care over the peoples they govern. We pray for our own leaders, federal, state, and local, that they too may see the value of leading and governing with Christ as their foundation. Lord, in your mercy. Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of fellowship. We are so blessed to be able to gather here today, albeit in such little numbers, with our brothers and sisters, our HTK family, every week to give you praise and worship. We thank you for the gift of Steve and Glenda and all the enthusiasm and joy they bring to our family here. We also thank you and pray for those in the retired ministry team. And we thank you for the gift of each other, who, as brothers and sisters, are always here to encourage and support each other through our highs and our lows. We thank you for all of our family who do things around your house every day, some days, once a week, once a month, often without being asked. Thank you for the blessing they bring to us all. Lord, in your mercy. And Father, we thank you for the gift of health. There are times we don't feel as well as we could, but your presence in our lives makes all the difference. We pray for those whose health is not as they would like. Give each of them a sense of peace and belonging to you as they go through their difficulties. Lay your hand of healing on their shoulders and comfort them and their loved ones. We pray for the carers, for the professionals, and for those who are family, who often work without thanks. We thank you for them and pray that you will bless them all richly with love and patience and understanding. We, of course, continue to pray for those struck down with COVID at the moment. We pray for the calm and rest for those looking after the many thousands who are now recovering or continue to recover in hospital because of this insidious disease or virus. Father, in this time of holiday for so many, we pray for those who are alone and those who are lonely. Father, give them all a sense of belonging, a belonging to the greatest family, past, present, or future, your family. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, it seems much longer than only 3.5 weeks ago since we celebrated the celebration of life, the rejoicing in the birth of your Son, our Saviour. We thank you again and again for bringing Jesus into our lives. The ultimate gift to us, born for us, wrapped in humility. We pray that as we continue into the new year, we can all be more Christ-like in who we are, more Christ-like in what we say, and more Christ-like in what we do for others as our gift, our gold, our frankincense, and our myrrh to you in 2022. Let us also be the light into the lives of those we touch, both physically and spiritually. Lord, in your mercy. Father, accept, we ask you to accept these our prayers and thanks through Jesus Christ, the reason for all seasons, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So let us stand and say together the grace for with our online viewers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And let's sing In Christ Alone.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness lay. Thank you.
bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with a precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. Cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. In Christ the Lord.